lift our hands and worship Him. He's our King this morning. Oh, in the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, He's the Prince of Peace. Our troubles, they vanish.
I got a call from Brother Colley this morning. Y'all remember him again. I know Brother Ryan brought him up. And remember all the ones that couldn't make it here today. Because we're very fortunate that we can get here. I can tell you, a person is 75 years old. Lord, give me two good feet to walk this earth and a body to carry it. And He's blessed me the whole time. And He'll do the same for you because He's not a respecter of person. I really appreciate what Brother Bob brought this morning to stand on the word. Predestination brought a good message, and we're blessed to have this kind of message here at this church. Amen. This morning we're going to be reading from 139, and we're going to read from, I think, I've cut it back a little bit. We're going to start at 9 and read 24, if that's okay, Brother Anderson. It's a beautiful, I hope you go home and read the whole 139 because it's really beautiful. But before we go to the Lord this morning, take His word, let's just give Him thanks for it, okay? Precious Heavenly Father, here we are again today, Lord, to come together around Your word. And Father, we need Your strength. In this time, we see our nation is all cast about. And it's rotten to the core in the government part, Lord. And it needs help, Father, because they've cast You out and they've took another for seat. We ask You, Lord, to take it back. But Father God, You know best. We're here to serve You, Lord. And to honor Your commandments, because that's the whole duty of man. Lord, I ask You to forgive us of our sins. Bless this little congregation here. Bless the little groups around the world and that's come to You this morning, Lord. Just bless them. Be with them and pour Your former and latter rain out on them, especially we're at the point of latter rain now, Lord. And Father, we just ask, Lord, that You just water us a bunch, because we need it. Help our unbelief, Lord. We ask now, Father, that You just touch and bless all our children that's still not back with us, Lord. I see them here, Lord, but I don't. And I ask You, Lord, You just have Your way with them as You did me, because I know I ran many years before You ran me down. Whew. Tell me, Lord, such a precious thing You done for me. And I know, Lord, it's such a wonderful thing, because I know from experience that is the most beautiful thing that's ever happened in my life. And I thank You for it. And Father, as we go to Your word now, just have Your way with us. Bless Brother Wade today as he's coming. He's preaching his heart out, Lord. He's feeding his little flock. That's what his daddy would want him to do. Taught him to do. We ask now, Lord, that You just be with us as we go on this journey and finish this journey, holding You high. No other in its place but You, Lord Jesus Christ. We love You, and we want to see You face to face. We ask these things now as we go to Your word You've sent us to heal us and deliver us from our own destruction. We ask in Your name, Jesus Christ. Now, forgive me, I get a little emotional. That's part of the new birth. I was told one time that whatever condition you received your new birth in, it would always come out when He came on you. And I was in a bad place and didn't even know I got it when I got it. I knew something had happened, but I didn't know what it was. It's like they said, the birth is not really a beautiful thing. Sometimes it's an awakening, that's for sure. Anyway, as we read, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Amen. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! Surely thou will say the wicked, O God, depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Thank you for the opening word. You may be seated.
Amen. I appreciate that, Brother Donnie.
How precious is his thoughts unto us. Amen. I love to study the subject of light. It's such a powerful entity we have, and there's so many spiritual things. And you read a scripture there that says, to God, the darkness and light is the same. Can you imagine when you go outside at night, you would see the night just like you see here with light? And you know, there's a place there where it talks about the light was in Goshen and darkness was in Egypt. And some think that maybe God illuminated the eyes of the Israelites there that they would see without a light. There's so many variations that God is in control of the details. We put our trust in him because his thoughts are precious about us. And how much more should our thoughts be about each other? It should be what he thinks about you. Such a beautiful picture of love that he expresses to us. Amen. Brother Ron, would you come and take the offering for this morning?
feel afraid. You're my hiding place, you're my refuge. And when the storms are raging, underneath your wings, I rejoice and sing, you are my refuge. Sanctuary, and when I feel afraid, Lord, you're my hiding place, you are my refuge. And when the storms are raging, it's underneath your wings. Oh, I rejoice and sing. Let's sing it once more. Oh Lord, you are my refuge, and you are my sanctuary. You feel afraid, for you're my hiding place, you're my refuge. And when the storm underneath your wings, I rejoice and sing, you are my refuge.
Hallelujah. Amen. What an assurance to be under his feathers this morning. Amen. I wanted to make a quick announcement. Sister Kaylee, she has a song, but before she comes for a special, Sister Christine gave me a note. It says there'll be a quick meeting after this morning's service for those who would like to sing as a group for the Christmas dinner. So we know we put the schedule out online, and so we're going to have a church Christmas dinner, but we're going to also have a group special. So if you'd like to stay after the morning service in the sanctuary when we dismiss, then you'll have further instructions and be a part of that. Hey, I love worship. I love to have the group to come together. You know, I kind of miss sometimes we had the fellowship meetings and we'd have some of the singing group to come up to represent our church. And I really appreciate the leadership that the Lord has here, that we can all worship and sing and just be a testimony no matter where we go. And even for the young people at the youth camps that get up and sing, it just testifies what God is doing in this little corner called Lula. We can be a light no matter where we go, whether it's us as an individual that goes out in fellowship or we're together as a group. So, amen. Let's sing that chorus once more. You're my refuge, and we'll ask Sister Kaylee to get ready for a special. You are my refuge. You are my sanctuary. And when I feel afraid, you're my hiding place. You are my refuge. And when the storm raging, it's underneath your wings. I rejoice and sing, you are my
weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. See a victory. for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. There is my power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will win. I'm not backing down from any giant. Cause I know how this story ends. Yes, I know how this story ends. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Victory. My, what a word. That day at Calvary. It's kind of hard to see through your battles sometimes, but like I was telling Jonas yesterday, we have a book and we can read the end of it. We know who has won the war. We go through this battlefield, but we have a lot of battle scars. But that's just a testimony of what God is doing in our lives. Amen. Are you looking for a victory this morning? Amen. Let's sing that song, "Here I Am to Worship." And, hallelujah. We come to worship Him in spirit and truth this morning.
Oh, light of the world, you step down into darkness. You open my eyes that I may see. And beauty that made this heart. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to sing.
bless you. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have everybody with us today. Smiling faces, we sure appreciate you. The ones that don't have a smile on your face, maybe you'll have one by the end of the service. Or a frown, one of the two, whichever one. I enjoyed what Brother Bob had to say. And it takes somebody, folks, you can't get it by yourself. I can't get it by myself. You can't get it by yourself. We have to have a fivefold ministry. We have to have somebody to break down these big things so that you and I can understand it. All right? And thank God he sent us a prophet. And now, though, folks, we've been 70 years since that prophet has been gone or been finished preaching. Where are we at? I was talking to Brother Bob Wednesday night. Just a little admonition for all of us. If you don't understand, you talk about, we take subjects. And now, Brother Dale's took some of the deep subjects, and he's made them plain as he can make them. But we got to be able to understand it. Okay, but we got to study too to show ourselves approved. We can't just say, "Well, we'll take it because Brother Dale said it." Well, he may be wrong. He wasn't, but he could have been, and you wouldn't have known nothing about it unless you studied yourself to say that ain't nothing but the truth. So when we start talking about thunders, I told Brother Bob, when you start saying those words like thunders and third pull, you can feel a vacuum go. It should be comfortable. Amen. It should be so comfortable, especially in this church.
Right.
We've heard the voice of God. We've heard the thunders.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen? So why do we still, though, when we start saying these things, everybody just kind of shuts down on you? No, listen, this is life. This is our transition to perfection. You're not going to get perfected without knowing what the third pull is. You're not going to get perfected unless you know what the thunders are. You're not going to know what the seals are. Any of that. You're not going to come to perfection. So you have got to study. You have got to take these words and study them out. I know they've been made confused by many, many people, but not in this church. We don't have an excuse. I believe Brother Dale preached a word without error. Up one side and down the other. I have no qualms with that. There's several hundred sermons online. If you want to go watch, he's on there. But we've got to come to a present day revelation to where these things don't scare us. They don't run us off. But we know that's going to happen. Some people can handle it. Some people can't. All right. But then if you'll say I'm perfect, you got to know what you're talking about. Just like what Brother Bob said. We are the seed of God. We did have representation from predestination, but we were lost. We needed a new birth to birth us to where now I can look and see, and I can amen all the quotes. I can amen all the scriptures to where I was lost, but now I'm found, but I was in the mind of God. The Genesis 1:26 man proves that. That didn't change. When Adam and Eve fell, that didn't change. It just wasn't able to transition to the perfection. But guess what? It is now. It is right now. This today, when we start reading these scriptures and we start reading these quotes, it's for us. The people that have went on, not for them anymore. They're not learning anymore over there. They're done. They're finished learning. But you and I are not finished. As long as we're sucking the air and we're breathing, we're not finished. And God's not finished either. He's after a group of people. He may be after just an individual. But he's after somebody to take this message. And as Brother Brown said, be prophetic people. With prophetic insight. Know what God says between the lines. That's my admonition to you. Brother Luis will be speaking for us Wednesday night, Lord willing. Remember, coming up next Sunday, November the 3rd, Brother Joe posted all that on WhatsApp. So just read that, and you'll know what's going on from now to the end of the year. But if not, we'll keep making the announcement here. Communion and foot washing next Sunday. Also, we'll have our monthly offering. Bring your money for the vision books that we'll send to Brother Barry Coffey there in Hickory, North Carolina. All right? Now, we have a lot of people here that were not here this time last year, and I thank God for that. God bless you, every one of you. What we do on Thanksgiving is before Thanksgiving Day, we have a Thanksgiving dinner with the church. Just our church, just a church family. And on Thanksgiving, on the 17th, we'll go downstairs after service, and there's a sign-up sheet downstairs. Write down what you would like to bring, okay? Now, if you got five kids, don't bring a salad bowl, because your five kids are going to eat something. Some of y'all, most of y'all don't have five kids. Some people do. Are heading toward that direction back there in the back, in the right-hand corner. So praise the Lord anyhow. But bring food. And we'll enjoy fellowship downstairs. We'll be downstairs, and we'll be able to enjoy a time of fellowship. The church will provide the meat. So you just bring a dessert. Our rolls, our drinks, but write it down on downstairs on the refrigerator that you're coming and you're bringing this. And we want everybody to come. Amen. We don't want anybody not to come. We want everybody to come. And we'll have a feast we've never been without. We've always had enough plus. So we sure appreciate that. And also on December the 8th, we'll have our annual Christmas. We'll have a Christmas. We'll have the service here, and then Sister Christine are going to get a group together, and then we'll have song here, something for Christmas, Christmassy. No Christmas trees, no Santa Claus. And then we'll go down to Hidden Acres, and we'll give you the address to it. And there we'll have our dinner. It will be totally catered by an outside person, and you'll have to do nothing but show up. All right? And then we will have gifts and different things for people that have something to do in the church. And we have a little gift for everybody, always do. And we'll do that on December the 8th. All right? And Brother Joe has posted all this on WhatsApp, so it shouldn't be. You should read it. You read the gossip. Hello? Yes, the week of Thanksgiving. It's also on the WhatsApp. But Brother Lanlan from the Philippines will be here. And we always have service on Tuesday night that week. Not on Wednesday, because Thursday's Thanksgiving Day. So it would be the Tuesday. Brother Lanlan will be here to minister for us. Brother Tim Cross will be the Sunday before. All right? Everybody all right? We good? If you have a question, ask Sister June or Sister Monica or Sister that's bringing asparagus. Y'all don't know what I have to go through. Brother Joe's Canada's sister that goes to church here. I love her squash casserole. She always writes down squash casserole, and she always brings enough for y'all and me. So she wrote down alfalfa sprouts. Yeah, that ain't funny. I ain't laughing. See what I have to put up with? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you all for coming. I hope you understand everything we're trying to do. We try to do things as a group. We don't exclude anybody. We want everybody included. We want this. This is a church body, not a church person. It's a church body. It's an organism. So we want to continue the traditions we have having our Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner and different things. Watch Night Service is coming up. Brother Andrew Glover will be here too. So just remember that. To Heavenly Father, thank you for the day that you give us. Lord, I pray that you'd settle us, Lord. Bring our mind back together in the center part of the Word of God and not be right or left. Lord, that we'll be a balanced church, Father, that we will do the things that we need to do, Lord, as human beings, but also, Lord, the Word is more important. The Word is always first. And Father, may we keep you first in our thoughts and our minds. And Lord, just bless us now, be with the ones that are sick and not with us today. Bless the ones that are sin sick, Father, that are away from us. Lord, I pray you, Lord, the time's shortened, Lord, the door's getting ready to close. Lord, I pray that you'd bring them in. And Father, just be with us now in the furtherment of this service in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to be on part five. There's a light within our soul that burns brighter than the sun, and most of the time we ignore it. Well, I'm going to amen it. Most of the time we ignore it. We live in our humanity, and we do things, and I'm going to get to something in a minute. I had been looking for something, and I found it the other day. Brother Branham said, I talked about healing service, and we'll get to it in just a little bit. But I'm going to read this, but I'm not going to break this down so much, because Revelation 3:14, we are now living it. We're not having to study what happened in the age before. Amen. And before that. Now, we needed that for history. But you and I are living the very thing that this scripture is talking about. You're living it. So I don't have to explain that we're lukewarm. I don't have to explain that we're rich. I don't have to explain that we should know where to go get eye salve. We should know what lukewarm is. We should know what hot and cold is. We should know all these things. And, but we should know, though, that we know where to get the blessings. Everything else is going to be cursed. Because look at verse 19. As many as I love. Now, what love is that? That's agape love. As many as I love, I stroke them and say good things about them all the time. And make them happy and just serve them Brussels sprouts. No, he says, look, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Look, be zealous, therefore, and repent. We must be zealous about our repentance. Because godly sorrow would lead us to repentance. If you don't think you need to repent, then Satan's already got you. All right? Then we know that he's put out of the church. I hope that he's not put out of this church. I hope he's more comfortable here than anywhere. But there is a part that we got to see that Brother Branham was put out of the denominations, thank God. But he was put out. He couldn't get back in. Now, he wasn't Jesus Christ, but he was representing Jesus Christ in the end time, and he was on the outside of the door trying to get back into the what? Brother Branham said, the church. Yes, right. They had threw him out of the church. Right. To him to overcome, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Remember, as I said last week, this is the intimate part that we're to play now in the end time. Each one got a star. They got a new name. They got a pillar in the community, pillar in the temple of God. And all these things were external. This is intimate. You're going to sit with him in a throne, not on a throne, in a throne. Right. Yes. In other words, you're going to sit in him. He's going to sit in you, actually. Right. And as I overcome and sit down, I'm going to grant for you to sit in my throne, as I overcome. So you got to overcome. We got to overcome this age. And I'm sat down with my Father in his throne. Let's go ahead and be seated now. Continue on, Lord. Add blessing to the word. But we want to look at this. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they'll fail. Whether there be tongues, they'll cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. Now, this is Paul in Corinthians to the Corinthians. All right? And talking to the Corinthians, he had to be specific because they were hardheads, like us. Now, hello? Amen. The Ephesians, he could preach on predestination. He could preach on all these great mysteries. But when he got to the Corinthians, he was always correcting them. Why? Because they were different. They were brought up different. They were from a different church. But we know in part and prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come. Now, do we not see right now that which is perfect is now here? He's not coming. He's here. The perfect word we have is here right now. Amen. All right? But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. In other words, not done away. We're not going to take the Bible and throw it away. Right. No. We're the only people that's going to know from cover to cover what that Bible means. Now, there'll be some things that we might be told is why God told a prophet to marry a prostitute. We know the symbolics to that, but you know me and you probably would have done it another way. But God didn't. He meant for it to be that way. That's the eternal word of God, and we must accept it. But that was for then, not now. But that which is perfect is come, that which in part shall be done away. As Brother Bob and I were talking, children act like children. Kids act like kids. And you understood like a kid. We understand the simple things. As Paul said, the simple things like water baptism. We don't have to preach water baptism over and over and over again. Amen? We don't have to preach one God over and over again. Sure, we weave it into our sermon. Sure, we have young people that are here. Sure, we have people that hadn't heard that before. Yes, and by the Holy Spirit leading us, we'll weave our way into that. But we don't have to take whole sermons on why you should be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? We're to that point. So that which is in part will be done away. We don't have to preach that in our notes anymore. Now, they had to a long time ago. They had to be that way. There had to be a Brother Moat and a Brother Dale and the different ones that would sit here and pound the message for 3 hours sometimes and just read quote after quote. You really don't need these quotes that I'm going to bring you, because all you got to do is put a couple words in your search engine or your folio views or whatever what you got, the table. You pull it up quick as I can. But do you? Do you study during the week? I don't want to know your hands because I'll embarrass a lot of you. Do you really study? I mean, well, Brother Dale, Brother Wade's going to preach on the third pull. And you know, when I'm going to study on the pulls, what do? I go to my search engine in my folio views, and I put in quotation, right? Because that puts it all together. First pull, second pull, third pull. And every quote that Brother Brown said anything about that together pops right up on my computer. And I can read them. So I don't need Brother Bob to tell me that on Sunday. I need clarity to what it says. Everybody with me? Amen. I need clarity. Somebody like Brother Bob said, to put it together, to teach us, to put it together. But you don't have to keep quoting the same quote over and over again. And we do a lot of times. Because I love the quotes. But when are we going to come to a place to where we don't have to say she is him anymore? Right. We should know that we're him when we walk through the door. Amen. That's the maturity. The child has to be told over and over and over again the same thing. Oh, let's don't shake our heads. You were a kid one time too. And if your parents were here, they'd agree with me. If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. How many times have you heard that? 1,000 times. When I was a child, I spake to the child. So listen, there was a time we should be children. There's a time some of you today, sitting here today, you are children in the gospel of Christ. But when I became a man, Paul said, I put those childish things away. Right. For now we see through a glass darkly. Seals hadn't been opened. Now the seals are open. Now don't go, seals. You're going to understand that all these terminologies that we use, if God thought we didn't need it, Brother Brown would have never preached it. I just, that he was so much led of God, he preached what we needed. And whatever else was around there that he told these people in private, that's for them. But when he publicly preached it, and I can mass play, and I can hear him talk about a third pull, I can hear him talk about the thunders, I can hear him talk about all these things, then that was for somebody to realize, that's me. He's talking about me. He's not talking about Luther. He's not talking about Wesley. He's not talking about Pentecost. He's not even talking about himself anymore. Oh, we stopped there. He's gone. It's in the days of the voice. You are the day of the voice. We are in that day. But then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I'm known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is agape love. God sent us a prophet with agape love. He sent us he had agape love. I'm talking about Brother Branham. God had agape love, and he gave it to a human being to give it to us. Now, Brother Brown was a human just like the rest of us, but I'll promise you, what he said out of his mouth on those sermons that was anointed of God, which I believe it was, that was God speaking to us. All right? So now when are we going to start doing what he said? When are we going to start studying a little bit? When are we going to start taking, as Brother Bob said, you know, if he told you to read Matthew 13, why didn't you read it during the week? Well, don't get quiet. Because I know most of you didn't. Because we put stuff out for you to do and you don't do it. That's a rebuke today. If a minister stands up here and tells you you need to read Daniel 70 weeks and you don't read it, that's iniquity. Unless you just don't think I mean anything. Or the voice that I'm speaking to you means anything. Because it really hurts. It does. When you pour your heart out, and as Brother Michael, you know, I'm on his team chat, and he told him to read so-and-so. Well, if you read it on the way to church, I guess that's okay, but you should have read it during the week. Because you know what? We have feelings too.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
We have feelings too, though. When we think it's so important for you to read this, just one little cat, one little... Jonah's not a very long book. Just a few chapters. Four, I think, or something like that. Four chapters. And don't read it. What did you do that was more important than the Word of God? That's a rebuke to all of us. I don't either. I don't study like I should. But I try to study enough to get something to you. So I hope that it'll spark your interest. And you'll go and say, well, where can I find that at? Go to your search engine. I'm telling you, you can find anything. Anything. But we're in the last age. We can't play around. But we have got to overcome the spirit of that age, of this age. Not that age, this age. Amen. Which is laziness. Amen. Microwave, punch a button, 3 minutes, I got popcorn. A little less than 3 minutes now if you got a real good microwave. They didn't have that. But we're at the end time, folks. We're facing eternity. We have had the Elijah anointing, and I still contend we still have the Elijah anointing. Amen. On a group of people, not one person. And it's a restoration message. This is God's trying to restore us back. Listen, listen to me real quick, then we'll get into the sermon. He took that partial seven ages. Because we're at the end of this one. We don't even count this one because if you're born again, you're out of this age anyway. He took all those ages and he allowed them to come to a part of perfection for them to pass away, be bride, and come up in the resurrection. They didn't have all the word. They didn't have all the truth. Now, we know back in the first days they did, but remember, God can only do what he said. He said, I will restore those years. Well, something ate it down and had to come back. But you and I, Brother Brown preached restoration of the bride tree. It was a bride tree. It was eaten down in the dark ages. Now it's coming back. Well, now, as we were talking the other day, what's happening now? God's not satisfied with a limb. He's not satisfied with a leaf. He's not even satisfied with something that looks like seed. Because that's what the shuck is. He's not satisfied with the shuck. And literally, if you'll look, go outside, go to look at some of these things that are dying now. Ragweed, sorry. But you see that those things are blowing away. Well, that's not going to repopulate that plant. That seed is going to repopulate that plant. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for the same thing that he put in the ground. Right. Everybody with me? Right. He's not satisfied with a limb. One more time. He's not satisfied. Right. He's not satisfied with you not knowing what the seals are. Right. He's not satisfied with you not knowing what three pulls are. Right. He's not satisfied with you being in confusion. Amen. I just can't understand. You know what? I said that a few times in my life when I was in school, but you know what I did? I guess I was smart enough to realize I need to study a little bit more. I really wished I could unscrew the top of your head. Well, maybe not some of you. It'd be messy. And pour all this in, and it just flow. Oh, that'd be nice. Ain't going to happen. Because remember, this thing right here is really hard. But I'm admonishing you today, we got to go up a notch. We got to go up a notch. We've been this whole year in the church ages in partial realization. I've given you all the partiality that God ever, he winked at their ignorance. He gave them the new birth according to what age they were in by the message that they had to deal with at the time. Everybody with me? But remember, if you are today sitting in a, not today, but if we were sitting back in Luther's age, in a Lutheran church, or by church by Martin Luther, and he preached that just shall live by faith, and you left and went to eat somewhere, and you go to a pub and drink a beer and smoke a pipe, God allowed that. Right. Everybody don't really understand. Well, you know, we always make that so bad, but Luther was German. Right. They drink beer like we drink sweet tea. Right. Right. So, I mean, it wasn't something that he was just, oh, I'm going to the pub. No, but he was. That was not his part to be perfect. At the moment.
Amen.
All right? Brother Donnie, you're going to be happy today. I'm way off my notes, so I'm not going to even look at them again. So no, I'm going to look at them. But there was a group of people that sat down and talked to Luther that accepted his message for that age. Right. With me?
Yeah.
And they were birthed into the body of Christ.
Amen.
But they had to die. They had to physically, this thing could not overcome. I mean, this thing overcome what was inside because it was partial word.
Right.
Like I've said before, Brother Brown said, you've got to give the Holy Ghost something to work with.
Right.
Even though you got it.
Amen.
He's in there waiting on you to bring him the word. Well, what do we bring him?
Right.
Do we bring him trash?
Come on.
Come on. That's right.
Trash in, trash out. Good food in. Oh, that was a good meal today. What about the Word of God? You ever say that's a good meal when you get finished eating here?
Right.
Well, that was a good meal.
Yeah.
I know some of you do. And I'm back to being human again.
Come on.
And if it's not, you need to let me know too. It's not good. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. It's better to me than you sitting there like a pickle with a bump on a pickle. Whatever. We go back to the bump. What's the bump on the pickle worth? But anyway, but now, though, you can take Luther's message, which we know the just shall live by faith. And that's what we're living by right now.
Right.
We are justified, and we're living by faith. We read the Word of God, but we are not going today go out and go sit somewhere and live a different life.
Right.
And be put in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Not going to happen. You're only justified. You've only begun your journey. You still got the unclean spirit there.
Right.
See, that's a paradox. Luther could do that, though, and be born again in his soul. But that was his requirement, not yours.
Right.
Wesley's requirement was a little bit closer. Let's clean this thing up. Let's go to church. Let's clean this thing up. Sanctify. Let's get this thing ready for God to come in. Well, you know what? God was pleased with that. He baptized him with the Holy Ghost. Give him the new birth. Under sanctification for Wesley's time. But me and you, as Brother Bob or somebody was preaching another name, we've always preached it here. Sanctification is the best and worst place you can be. It's the best if you know where you are and you're getting rid of them demons. Unclean spirits going out, screaming, and I want them screaming. I don't want them just to, I'll be back. We used to walk like Joe Forney. I'll be back. No, I don't want to ever come back.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
And then fill that thing with the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
And take us on to perfection. You can't be perfected under sanctification.
Amen.
Not in this age you can't. But a sanctified life will get you just that, a sanctified life.
Yes.
Right.
And will put you in a grave.
Right.
Amen.
But it'll also become one of those two spirits in the framework of the church.
Right. Yep.
Look at me. There's two spirits in the framework of every church. All right? And if you're sitting here today and you're just sanctified, but you think because you wear your clothes the way you do and because you do come to church every once in a while and because you do the things that the prophet told us, don't think you're born again. That born-again experience will light a fire somewhere. As Brother Donnie was talking about, it'll light a fire somewhere. Somewhere we're looking for the fire of God to just saturate us. Sure, listen, you're still going to have demons. They still going to be at your door. But you don't have to let them in. This is a fight. Not a picnic. I think sometimes we think we get on the cruise ship with a message. Well, as long as Brother Branham runs the ship, we're good. No. No, it may be an angel in disguise running the ship, and it may not be a good one. All right. Is everybody with me today?
Amen.
I want us to be serious.
Amen.
But I want us to be happy.
Yes.
If you don't think you're sitting in the right place, you better find you somewhere to sit. But remember, it ain't because I'm ugly or I'm good looking or what I'm wearing or how I talk. It's what you get of the sermon of the Word of God that's being preached. Because it's always Word first. Brother Brown said, the only reason you leave your church is because the pastor don't preach the truth. Isn't that what he said? It ain't because Brother Joe can't lead singing, which he can marvelously. And we've got a great team of people.
Amen.
But you say, I'm not going to church when Brother Luis is preaching.
Oh, no.
Kind of funny. You can't hide when you have your favorite preacher at church because you're usually there. My favorite preacher is a man standing behind the pulpit Amen. Preaching the Word of God to me. That's my favorite man that can get himself out of the way enough to where God can do two things, rebuke but grow. We were talking about it the other day. Where does correction come from? Right straight from the house of God. And I'm going to read you something in just a little bit. What Brother Brown was talking about, he's talking about healing ministry and coming to prayer lines and all these things. But I was looking for this quote and I found it. And he'll hit the nail right on the head of what I was telling y'all the other day. We were talking about going to special meetings to get in the prayer line. We'll read it in just a little bit. So look, we've come to a place to where it's not Pentecost anymore. It's the Pentecostal experience, yeah, AD 30, not Azusa Street. See, even the Azusa Street, you can, now listen to me. Listen to me real good. They had the Holy Ghost, because right here Brother Brown talks about no messenger to the age, because the Holy Ghost came himself. So the Holy Ghost can't ever be false. Holy Ghost is always going to be true. And if it falls on a true believer, it makes that person true. Everybody with me? But remember, God seals a group in, but then he rebukes a group of people that he's trying to come on, and they continue on. Thinking they got this, and they don't. That was Brother Ram's whole message. He would look out in the congregation. He could discern who had the Holy Ghost and who didn't.
Right.
He could say, move, Pentecostal church. Move. You got to move with God.
Amen.
And they'd just sit right there, and he'd watch the Holy Ghost continue on.
Yeah.
Everybody with me?
Yeah.
Well, let's don't do that here.
Right.
Let's don't do that here.
Right.
Well, I'm sitting in Louisville. I'm fine. I'm comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's good. Listen, it never will be easy.
Right.
But what we go through now, listen to me, young people too, what we go through now, it's not even a period on the end of a sentence in a dictionary to what we're going to get if we'll just endure and overcome here. You can't imagine eternity. I can sit here and preach to you for hours about eternity and not even touch that one little period. Oh, but I wanna live. I'm young. I wanna live. I wanna experience. Experience God.
Yeah.
That might be a good place to start.
Right.
All those other things will pass away.
Amen.
They will go away.
Yes, sir.
Listen, we've all lived long enough. You got an up day and a down day. Up day and a down day.
Right. Yeah.
Well, pray for me then. If some of y'all don't have it, pray for me. Some may have an up week and a whole down week. I've had a few months that way. But it doesn't change your attitude if you're born again. That's where your tie post is. That's where that tie post is. That's where you go, Satan, bring it on. He can get your body. He can play in your spirit. But he cannot get your soul if you're born again. Make sure you're born again. And he can't. Listen, Satan wants to. He wants to grab that soul again, but I'll promise you, he cannot feel, he feels so much fire. You know about the fire is going to burn him for everlasting fire? That's what's in your soul, is eternal fire.
Amen.
And Satan hates it. He wants to get in there and pull it out, but he can't touch it. It's like a big old hot oven. He ain't even got mitts big enough to get in there to get it out. So you rest on that, and then continue on. Don't say I'm born again. Well, I got born again 2, 3, 5, 10 years ago. What are you doing now? What are you doing now? We see people come, we see them leave. See them come, see them leave. Come and stay. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. Brother Claude, he quoted me that scripture years ago, and it stuck with me. Listen, those who endure. Now, endure means a lot. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. Don't come up to the end and be lacking. Don't come up to the end and be like they were in Noah's day and the ark, the door be closed, which God closed it. Listen, Noah and his humanity would have never closed that door. His job was to build it. His job was not to shut it. God shut the door. He even shut the door 7 days before it started raining. So we think, man, we're going to get these signs, and boy, when we see this bomb and we see that, everybody got all this picture stuff all figured out. He'll come as a thief in the night, folks. He's going to come when you least expect it.
Amen.
Don't mind if I preach a little bit today. When you least expect it. Didn't he say a thief in the night? Are we all sitting there with our guns and we're waiting on the... Every night we're waiting on that thief to come. But the first night we do this, thief will come. I thank God he is a thief because he's coming to steal me. He stole me away from Satan years ago. Now he's going to steal me out of this place. And as somebody said the other day, there ain't no Democrat, no Republican. Quit worrying about next Tuesday. Nothing's going to turn this thing around. Nothing's going to make a Christian more a Christian.
No.
Preach, I believe it will. Nothing out there is going to make you a better Christian. Nothing. Oh, yeah, the trials, the troubles, the tribulations, yes. But there's nobody going to make it safe for you anymore. We're to the end now. But the Holy Ghost came to give us these gifts of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. We absolutely believe every one of them because they're in their gifts.
Yes.
A gift from God is a good one.
Amen.
And what are they given for? Now, Brother Brown tells us the gifts coming to the church, pastor, the evangelist, teachers, prophets, apostles, all these together, working together with the gifts, keeps the church perfected and clean and ready for the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Our problem is sometimes as ministers, we can't agree. We just come together, can't agree on something. I hate that. But I'll read you something in just a few minutes. If the ministry of the Son of Man is back in power in the end time, they can't be two different opinions on something. Now, did Jesus have a different opinion than the Father? Now, we know he had a different opinion than the religious world. He said, I'm of my Father and you're of yours. But we can't be contrary. Well, if you want to believe it that way, yeah, you can believe it any way you want to. But there's a ministry that's going to hone so much, Brother Brown tells us, till it's going to fit that thing together. And if that's the Son of Man, that's the Son of Man right there. This is his body. This is the Son of God, the body, the bride. But somewhere, as Brother Stephen Wilson, they got to connect. And Son of Man, if we're to be turned and transformed into the ministry of the Son of Man, it won't even match the Son of God. Dispensation change. He's going to rapture people that are, we which are alive and remain, are not going to be children. Fully mature adults. Somebody that takes every piece of the word and says, that ain't nothing but the truth. That's what we're into now. You say, well, I can't take it. If you'll get born again, you'll at least have a zeal to try. If you don't have a zeal to try, then you're not born again. Why would God put a group of, why would he give us the greatest message on the earth and set you in here and confuse you? God's not the author of confusion. Satan is the author of confusion. If you're confused, say, get behind me, Satan. I want to know what that guy's talking about. I want to know what the prophet's talking about. You're a free will agent, and you do what you want to. But remember, God's looking for the real thing. He's looking for the seed. But all these other things had to be there as carriers to protect the seed. All down through the church ages was a protect. You know what it was protecting? The message you and I are getting right now. It was making it where God can move through all those stages, knowing that that life is going to come back out and make a seed over here at the end. Now, what a mighty God we serve. And what a privileged people we should be. I'm telling you, there's no denomination out there in seed form. I'm sorry. They don't come to seed. They come to shuck. And when the shuck life leaves, God leaves. It's all going to be in the seed. But what it was a carrier, as Brother Ram said. They organized. That's what Pentecost. They organized and became a carrier. And we were talking Wednesday night, and I'll cover this a little bit more. Brother Ram said, look, divine healing is just a minor, and you can never major on a minor. Salvation of the soul is much greater than divine healing. Divine healing was included in the new atonement because the old atonement had healing in it, and the new ones are much better than the old. If the old one could furnish healing, what about the new one? So we know Brother Branham came. We know that he came with the greatest healing campaign. I was thinking yesterday, you know, from 47, if you'll look and see all the advancements in science from 47 to even till now, there was a lot of things that they had no cure for cancer. I mean, if it said cancer, you'd gone. But here Brother Branham comes, and even the angel specifically says, don't fear that. Why? Because fear was gripping the world. There was not so much radiation. If it did, they burnt you up and killed you more than the cancer did. But God sent a prophet, a healing campaign, not just a prophet, different ones, that could come and be hope to the people. They had hope. Brother Bam, this morning, he said, sir, you've got leukemia. You're going to die. I mean, directly. He healed. There was one brother healed of cancer on one side. He said, brother, there's a dark shadow on you. He said, you got leukemia. You're going to die. Now, I know people that's lived with leukemia for years. We've come to the advancement. But we needed somebody in that period of time to tell that brother, you have a hope, though. You stand up and believe Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you'll walk out of here whole. Well, that's what that healing campaign was for. But what it was to do was to bring people to a realization that God Almighty was on the scene. And he had a funnel to use to get your attention with. But listen, we can't keep the light of that attention and that be it. That's a minor. Listen, partial is a minor. Perfect is It's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
So you can't major on a minor.
Amen.
Well, partial to perfect. The word transition means a change from one thing to the next. We've got to even change our thinking. We are not Laodiceans.
Right.
Right? We are not, hold on a minute, we are not born again under Pentecost.
Right.
I'm going to read you, Brother Ram said, it'd be a new birth according to Malachi 4.
Yeah. Right.
Not a new birth. It's a knowing what that birth will do for you. Because
listen,
there was Pentecostals. If the Holy Ghost fell himself, it came on a group of people, it birthed them in the body of Christ. But some came along later and cabbaged down on it and said, this is it.
Right.
And it wasn't even the beginning.
Yeah. Right.
Well, see, then God moved on. Well, he left a whole group of people there, as Brother Brown said, scrap heaps of ministers and different ones, that didn't stay with the program or didn't stay with the anointing of God.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, they got an anointing, but remember, Satan can do the same thing.
Right.
Satan is the most anointed person besides God.
Yeah, right. Amen.
I didn't say that. God did. Lucifer, you were perfect. I made you perfect. I want you to be the worship angel. But what happened was, Lucifer was supposed to be somebody to gather the people to worship God. In other words, he decided he was the one that wanted to be worshipped, and he didn't want to give any this way.
Right?
Amen? And that's the way it is now. That's why. The deception is on, folks.
Amen.
You can't talk to somebody about not being a Christian.
Right.
Everybody's a Christian now.
Yes.
Cuss, drink, smoke. Run around. Don't go to church half time. But we're Christian. I ain't perfect and you ain't perfect. See what Satan's done? He's absolutely diluted Christianity. He's diluted Christianity into you just believing. Well, I just had a feeling a couple weeks ago, and I believe that was God. No, you probably just either got warm or cold and you had chills. Hello, somebody. Or Satan put a little anointing on you. Satan can anoint you, know that, right? Okay. That's why you got to know. That's why I read that scripture the other day, where when Jesus got ready at the end of preaching the seals in Matthew 24, he said, beware. A false Christ.
Right.
He didn't say beware of false drunks.
Right.
He said beware of false Christ.
Amen.
He said they say, oh, he's over here. We need to go over here. Don't go. You know why you won't go? Because you know he's in you.
Amen.
But if you don't have him, you'll fall for everything.
Right.
Get in God. He's the only thing that's safe.
Amen.
Ain't nothing around here that is. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Continue on. Therefore, leaving the principles, the cornerstone of the doctrine of Christ, as we were talking before, let us go on into perfection. Listen, that's a requirement.
Right.
And if God requires it, he's got to make a way for you to get it.
Right.
Okay? Now, let us go on to perfection, which is the headstone, the Son of Man, and that word means, perfection means the finisher. All right? We are the finisher of everything. Listen. Explain to me something else we have left. You got 30 seconds.
Nothing.
There's only one thing left.
Resurrection.
No. Resurrection.
Yeah.
Resurrection comes first.
Amen.
Then we're changed.
Yeah.
Then we go into rapture. Yeah. We have got, and you know what the resurrection message is? It's the message of the Son of Man.
Yeah.
The Son of Man message is going to bring those dead saints out of the ground. But it's not going to be from a tombstone. It's going to be from a human.
Amen.
Human beings. I'll read it to you if we get to it. Brother Brown said, it's the Son of Man among people.
Right.
Not one person, people.
Amen.
There will be somebody. By the word of God, and thus saith the Lord, there'll be somebody that'll stand one day and say, bride, come out. If it ain't me, it's somebody do it.
Amen.
But somebody's going to do it because God already saw it done.
Amen.
When he wrote that Bible, before the foundation of the world,
right.
He just impressed Paul to say, we.
Right.
which are alive and remain, the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. For the dead Christ shall rise first. Then we'll be changed. Then we'll go in a rapture. This is the rapture message. There is no doubt. But we got to have a resurrection before we have a rapture. But I look, perfection is a perfecter. One who has in his own person, not the pastor, in his own person, raised faith to its perfection. And so set before us the highest example of faith. So Paul continues on, not laying again the foundation of repentance. Now remember, like I said before, we do go back and preach these doctrines. We do go back. When somebody new comes in, or we pick up something that somebody hadn't heard, and we try to bring everybody up. And I believe the Holy Ghost is the one doing that. He goes and knows what you need to bring you back, to bring you up. But there's going to be a day that the Holy Ghost is not going to keep going backwards. He's wanting a people to be mature to come right here. So he can talk to us. Brother Brown said, the bride will have thus saith the Lord, or she'll sit still. I think we have thus saith the Lord. Everything we're saying is thus saith the Lord. What Bob Black said today was thus saith the Lord. I don't care who it came from. It was thus saith the Lord. You tell me what something else the Lord would have said besides what he said. You tell me. Something else that God would have come and said, no, Brother Bob, you should have said it this way. Or you didn't really mean it that way. No. That was the voice of God speaking to us. We don't have to press I'm not going there. Yeah, I am. We don't have to press play to hear the voice of God. We love it. We know that for a fact. That's where we get our nourishment. Amen. But you are not going to be raptured by a tape recorder. There's going to be a lot of people sitting in a house service when the rapture takes place. Aren't we supposed to come to perfection? Well, let's go to the book of Ephesians. He tells us, without this fivefold ministry, you're not going to be perfected. Period. So the cornerstone was the church ages, partiality, the headstone, the Son of Man. We're looking right there. We're looking. That's why Brother Brown said she'll be looking. I was reading a quote yesterday. She'll be looking to the sky at a word-born bride. That's us. Us. A word-born bride, not an emotion-born bride.
Right.
Not a Pentecostal-born bride. A word-born bride. That's why I said, folks, the word has got to be the most important thing in your life. And I fall short a lot. Well, then don't sit there and say, I don't understand what you're saying. It's in the message. It's in the Bible. What else can we do? Luke 17, verse 24. Everybody okay?
Amen.
For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one. Now listen, hold on. This is the same scripture according to Matthew 24, 24. Jesus is preaching the seals. But this is a commentary from Luke. All right? For as the lightning that lighteth out of one part under the heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. Now hold on. What day is that? This day. That's this day. All right? So don't say, no, that was brother. No, this day right here. That's this day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. We're the most rejected people there are. If you really sat down and took the doctrines that we believe, 99% of the people will not like you. Same way with Jesus. So if the Son of Man ministry done that to him, it'll do it to me and you. Listen, the day of compromise is almost over. I don't compromise. Now listen, let's continue on just for a second. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat. We all look like we do that. They drank. They married wives. They were given in marriage. Until the day that Noah entered in the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat. They drank. They bought. They sold. They planted. They builded. Kind of covers everybody in the building right now, right? But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. This is the revelation of the Son of Man. Now, Brother Branham brought the revelation. A lot of people didn't get it. A lot of people in the message didn't get it. They got the signs and wonders. They got the God sent a prophet. They got the no eternal hell. They got the water baptism. But when he started preaching the seals and in Daniel 70 weeks, he didn't say so much. But when he got to preaching the seals and then when he preached marriage and divorce, he said, all my friends are going to leave me. But what was he doing? He wasn't preaching something different than Jesus preached. He's preaching the same thing. He was trying to reveal the Son of Man to the people. Wasn't time for them. You and I is time for. You can be happy or sad. I'm happy. I'm happy that this is where we're at. Now watch. Now let's go back here. Now this is, we're in the day that the Son of Man is to be revealed. Everybody with me? All right? Because we've got to step it up a notch. So watch. Watchmen, what of the night? Now that's a good one to, I kind of read a bunch back and forth from the top to the bottom. What does a watchman do? Now before we had cell phones, there were towers, but they weren't cell towers. And you paid a guy to go up there and watch to see if the enemy was coming. See what was going on. And then you remember back in England, they did the old bell. The guy would stand up and say, 12 bells, one bell. You know, they didn't have a clock, the man with the clock. But what was he doing? He was watching for the people in the city. He wasn't doing it for himself. He was watching for the people that was in the city. That's what Brother Brown was saying. Watchman, what of the night? What's going on here? So look, what is it? The morning star, the church of the living God today, who's the watchman on the tower warning the nations and the people. It stands alone. Now, who was our watchman? Brother Branham. A man that stands for God stands alone. But what's he doing? He's reflecting the same light of the sun that went down years ago and is rising again. Now watch. What is that true church's ministry? The ministry of that church will be the ministry of the sun. Because it's a reflection of the same sun power, the same sunlight, S-O-N, not S-U-N, that the world will know when the sun rises what it will look like. Oh, you morning stars, rise and shine. It's time to shine. The coming of the Lord is at hand, reflecting his presence, reflecting the oncoming sun, giving the same sign Jesus said it was in the days of Sodom. The same ministry that the sun went down in, the same light he went down in, is coming again in the resurrection power. And the morning star is reflecting that light. Then we cry, watchman, what of the night? Hallelujah. Now we're in the dark time, the Laodicean church age. We know that for sure. Man, lukewarm, not able to stand the things of God. Can we do that? Can we stand the things of God? Or has it become foreign? Or has it become something hurtful? Watch this. They pull themselves off, separating like it was in the days of Noah. But the morning star shines right on them just the same. The power of God, the Holy Ghost. Look, he promised the power. Then God's light will be reflected in his church and more powerful than ever just before the coming of the Lord Jesus. Watchmen, what of the night? What do you see? What do you see in your tower? Do you see the light coming or you see the light going down? You see nothing or you see the enemy? What do you see? That's my question to you. Now watch, greater than Solomon, 1961. There wasn't a drop of rain fell till Noah got in the ark. No fire till Sodom. Lot got out of Sodom. The church already, I don't have to be judged. I've already been judged. For it judged Christ, and Christ stood its judgment. When we are in Him, we are free from judgment. If God judges you, then He's unjust. That's a mouthful. That's thus saith the Lord. Christ took our judgment for us, and by one Spirit we're baptized into that body. He that believeth on me has everlasting life, and shall never or shall not come into the judgment. John 5:24. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into the judgment, but is passed from death into life. Amen. That's the gospel. Oh, how happy we should be just watching and waiting for that glorious time. Questions and Answers, 1962. Why am I telling you this? There's certain things in our life that we need to get rid of. All right, we need to quit going back and saying, I'm condemned because of this. I'm condemned because of that. I feel I'm being judged. If you're in Christ, you've already been judged. Right. Let's put that aside. And we don't have to go through the tribulation. We don't have to go through those horrible things that's coming. They can put it on CNN and all that. You know, Iran and Israel, they're throwing bombs at each other. That don't make me nervous none. If that makes you nervous, you need to get in God. How I disagree that the church will be in a tribulation. How can you make a type take away from an antitype? Noah was in the ark before one drop of water fell. Lot was out of Sodom before the fire ever fell. Jesus said, as it was in them days, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. The church don't have to stand judgment. It's already in Christ. What we need is a perfection of saints. Oh, my. Can I read that again? His whole summation. What we need is a perfection of saints. The saints don't understand. Are we not the saints? They just don't know what to think. If that's right, if it isn't, there's coming something right quick. There'll be a blast. I'm watching. I don't know which way to turn. What we need is a perfection of saints. God's own interpreter in 1964. As it was in the days of Sodom, so it was in the coming of the Son of Man. The Spirit of God would come upon the earth in a form of human beings. Beings. Not a person. They tried to make Brother Brown the Son of Man. You can't make him the Son of Man. He was born in sin. The Son of Man was not born in sin. That's one quick way to get rid of all that. All right? He was a sinner just like me and you. He's born through a womb. He's born through an act of his mom and daddy. Jesus was immaculate. That makes him different. The Spirit of God would come upon the earth in a form of human beings. God manifested in human flesh. Amen. Do you see it? And would do the same thing that God did in human flesh at Sodom. Remember, they were waiting for a promised son. And that's why Abraham and Sarah was turned back. What son are we talking about? We're talking about the Son of Man. We talking about the Son of God. We're talking about the Son of Man. It's to be birthed through a conception. Okay, I'll get to it in a minute. Watch this. Remember, they were waiting for a promised son. Let's remember, they couldn't produce it until the Son of Man came on the scene. They couldn't produce until God in human flesh walked on the scene and discerned their thoughts, and then they were changed back. Amen? Then they had the promised son. That was the last sign that Sodom and Abraham's group saw before the promised son arrived. Did you notice that? And now the church spiritual has come to that hour. Token, 1964. No other time could this ever be till now. No other time could this message ever come forth till now. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. The message would not be till now. The world wasn't in the condition as until it's in now. This is the hour that Jesus could appear at any time. Then we talked about the sleeping virgin the other day. They went right. Now watch this. This is the sleeping virgin. The bride is going home. The bride is gone out of here. All right? With me? They went right ahead preaching and thinking they were getting souls saved and did not know it. They knew nothing about it. The church will go on thinking souls are being saved and everything else, and the church is already, he stops, he says, the bride, sealed away. Don't know it? Certainly. That's exactly what the scripture said. Noah went into the ark and God sealed it out, truly. And the time will come when men and women will cry to God and even think they're getting something when they haven't. That's exactly right. The scripture speaks that. Amen? So now watch, 1964. He's talking about the Son of Man making himself known among his people in the form of his people. Not Son of God, not Son of David, but Son of Man. The Son of God was the supernatural. Like Abraham, he's seen voices. Now watch. No way we could have said it like this, so I'm going to let him say it. Like Abraham, look, he's seen voices. He heard things and seen lights and so forth. In other words, in Abraham's journey, he got a promise, and then what happened? He went to all these different things he went through. Talked to God, saw light. Sounds like our journey. But just before the promised son come, God revealed himself as a man in human flesh and read the thoughts that was in Sarah's heart in the room behind him. Now, if you take that right there and you're sitting in the congregation and you've been under that anointing for all that period of time, you would think Brother Branham was the Son of Man. Because who in the world could stand and tell your thought, your very thought you had a year ago, and see you doing something 2 years ahead of time? Oh, I see you're bouncing a baby on your knee. Not even pregnant at all. But remember, that was a minor. Everybody with me? That was a minor. You can't major on that minor. You can get emotion, you can get feelings, and you can still be lost. But you can't have a major and be lost. But just before the promised son come, God revealed himself as a man in human flesh and read the thoughts that was in Sarah's heart in the room behind him. And he said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of God. Now watch, he stopped for a second. He didn't say that right. He said, when the Son of Man shall be being revealed. If you don't have the Son of God, if you don't have the new birth, if you don't have, like I said before, all these foundations, Son of Man is not going to do you any good. He's put out of that. Not the Son of God in the church age. He's put out of that. Now he's Son of Man revealing himself. The Word is becoming flesh among us, proving his Word, 1964. He promised these things would happen in the last day, that the same Son of Man will be made manifest. Because that's what we're heading toward, folks. Perfection. Who was the most perfect person ever lived on the face of this earth? Somebody say it. The Lord Jesus Christ, who was the Son of Man. All right, if we want that perfection, we got to have him here. Not in body form, we're his body. Now watch. Not no more as a church, not no more. The bride is called. And that day the Son of Man will be revealed. What? To join the church to the head, unite the marriage of the bride. The bridegroom call will come right through this. So if you're going to hear the bridegroom, wake up a minute. If you're going to hear the bridegroom call, it's going to come through this. It's going to come through this message. It's not going to come from out there. The bridegroom call is coming from this message right here. That's what he was saying. We'll come right through this. When the Son of Man will come down and come in human flesh to unite the two together. The church has to be the Word. He is the Word. And the two unites together to do that. It'll take the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man. It's Son of Man. Jesus Christ will come down in human flesh among us and will make his Word so real that it'll unite the church and him as one, the bride. And then she'll go home to the wedding supper. Amen. She's already united. Listen, we don't go to a supper to get married. You have the marriage ceremony, and then you go to a supper. Amen? Amen. Right. You're married down here. You're not going to get married in heaven. If you're not married here, you ain't getting it up there. Right. When the Word here unites with the person, and they two become one, And then what does it do then? It manifests the Son of Man again, not the church theologians. The Son of Man, the Word in the church becomes one. Whatever the Son of Man done, he was the Word. The church does the same thing. Feast of the Trumpets, 1964. There's another group being made ready, Revelations 19. The next time the church is heard, she comes also not upon exactly horses, but the Bible said he was on a white horse and the host of heaven was following him upon white horses. Now watch. While this group down here has got 2,000 bound at the river Euphrates and has been bound for 2,000 years, he'll tell you why in just a few minutes, just a second. Also, that church has bound the Holy Ghost for nearly 2,000 years under martyrdom back there, and under the church ages, it's been bound. Not at the river Euphrates, but at the door of creeds and dogmas that the Holy Spirit can't work in the church because of man-made systems. But she's going to be liberated. She is coming back. Well, that's what the Bible said. And those two meet one another on the battleground, Lucifer and Michael again, like in the beginning. They've been bound for 2,000 years, almost 2,000 years. We bound the Holy Ghost by our creeds and dogmas.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Now remember, I've been quoting this quote. Brother Brown said, look, before the Holy Ghost can ever work, he's got to have something to work with. You got to give him something to work with.
That's right.
I can't reiterate that anymore. So the transition to perfection. Now watch. There wasn't nowhere in the Bible that Christ was ever put out of the church but this age. She's in the worst age. She's the rottenest she's ever been. Said as the queen, have need of nothing. So let's just go on down a little bit further. The message is to bring back the word. Now listen, the gifts were restored at Pentecost. Then Brother Branham continued on with those gifts for a platform. All right, everybody with me for just a minute. That was the platform. Then when he come out on that platform, they pulled the platform out from under him. They stayed here. And the message is to bring back the word, bring the people back to the word. Birth is to be, she's to be delivered of a new birth from according to Malachi 4. Now, what is Malachi 4? He's going to return and restore your heart back to the faith of the fathers. And then, remember, there's a number two part of that. All right? We all know that's the Word of God in the denominational system. There's two systems at work. He said, I hope that's simple enough that you can understand. These men, if they pick this up and go out with it, they can make more sense of it, see? To bring it to a place you would. I just want to lay this seed and then hope they make it come to life. That's why he got the big nuggets and we're supposed to break them down into little nuggets. He was Mama Eagle. He went and got the food. He brought the food. He stored the food up, and he put it where we could eat it. He didn't shove it down our throat. He gave it to us. He will restore the truth as they had it. Those elect with him in that day will be the ones who truly manifest the Lord and be his body and be his voice and perform his works. Hallelujah. Do you see it? Now watch this right here. I'll read this and then we'll stop. Can you read between the lines? Can you see what I'm saying? This is 1963. The Lord Jesus that promised as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. The very God that wrote the Bible said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he also. Do you get what I mean? Then that honest-hearted man saw the glory of God. Now, who's he talking about? He's talking about Isaiah and Uzziah. All right? Then that honest-hearted man saw the glory of God. He saw it in action, and he cried out as a sinner and confessed himself to be a sinner. Now watch. He had never seen anything like that. Remember when Isaiah was called into the temple and he was looking at old Uzziah, and old Uzziah, the great Uzziah? Uzziah was doing wrong, right? And then Isaiah said, oh, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I'm not worth this and all that stuff. He confessed that he was a sinner. Then what happened? When the prophet got ready to confess, Then came the real cleansing. Here's what I want to, this is right here. Until the people gets ready to confess, there's no need of having these healing services. If you will confess your sins, confess your unbelief, confess the things that you are doing wrong, then God can do something. Yeah. But until there is a confession, there can be no cleansing. I've seen prayer lines, so have you. They go through, they come in a sinner, and they go right out one. You know why? There should have been a confession, as I said before. Why don't we start at the house of God? This is where confession begins here. If you want to get healed, let's confess our faults.
Right.
Let's confess our sins. Get it all out. I've been dilatory. I've been this. I've been all kind of stuff. I'm not as faithful as I should be. I'm not as this. Then God can heal us.
Amen.
Until the people gets ready to confess, there's no need of having a healing service. If you will confess your sins, confess your unbelief, confess that things that you're doing is wrong, then God can do something. But until there is a confession, there can be no cleansing. Oh, we want to have in prayer lines. Well, you know what? Get it right in your home church. I'm saying here, get it right in our home church. Then if we can't pray for you, like Brother Colley, if he was here, my dad told him years and years ago when Sister Colley was dying of cancer, and he told Brother Colley, he said, if you can find somebody that praying for the sick, and if you want to take them, he said, I'll pay for it. He said, I'll fly you anywhere in the world.
Right.
He said, no, Brother Dale, I believe right here.
Amen. Right.
Of course, you went ahead and passed away, but that was the providence of God.
Right.
Now watch, just for a second. Let's get ready to close. Them mysteries will be revealed in the last day. So we are a mystery-revealing group of people.
Yeah.
All right? When the seventh angel's message, when he starts out doing this, but when he begins to sound the message, not the years in preparation, but when he begins to sound the message, these mysteries then will be revealed. And here they are, not knowing them, and you people are a witness of it. He was telling them where it was at. Now look, we believe in children. Healing is the children's bread. We realize that. It's in the atonement. And the atonement first is applied to our soul. And healing has always forerun every message, and it's also been a means to gather people together. You look around and you look where Brother Branham went, and you look at all the cities where he went. There's usually a message church somewhere close by. He went to Ruth, North Carolina in the 50s. Rutherfordton, Ruth. Brother Joe Green showed us where they had the big auditorium or gym where Brother Brown preached. Well, his dad was a Pentecostal preacher, Brother Henry. He heard Brother Branham, got attached to him, and there's where the church that he's preaching in right now. Bible believers. Came from where Brother Branham. See, what I'm saying is, there was thousands of people at that meeting. There's not another church around there. Brother Henry Green, he was sent for that one man. He was sent for that one man that God knew that he'd take it. Then you got other places, all these different places you see. I don't know what happened here in Lula, but God was, he was in Macon. Come out of Macon in different places. We all have, what are you saying? We had to have the bait on the hook. You had to have the manifestations of this great healing ministry to even turn and look at it. But that's the bait. That's the minor. That's not the hook. We're in the age of the hook. Listen. And that's just the thing, to get the people to listen a while till you can really present them the message. Right? God has did that in every age. Through every age, there's always been a healing campaign. And if it's a genuine healing campaign, behind that campaign always is a message. There never is a sign given just for a sign. It's forerunning a message. You look at all the people, the great ones, A.A. Allen and different ones. They either fail. Jack Cole, They didn't record all his sermons. What about Brother Branham, though? Here's Brother Branham. They recorded all his sermons from 1947. That's why God said, this is the voice I want you to hear. Those other ones are fine. They're okay. But there's a message behind this campaign that's a major, not a minor. Then there's a message. If not, there's something wrong, Brother Brown said. But when he, now watch, Jesus, when he came forth healing the sick, he was a great prophet to all of them. But when he began to tell them the truth of the gospel, who he was and what he came for, he was not popular after that. And that's the way it's always been through every age. It will continue that way. And we see it, and we've seen it. Now look, what was Martin Luther? A rebuke to the Catholic. Wesley, rebuke to the Lutherans. Pentecost, rebuke to them others. Where was the life gone now? Away from Pentecost. No more shuck, it's the grain. A rebuke to the Pentecost. That's what Brother Brown was coming. He was rebuking them, trying to, but he wasn't rebuking them saying you're lost. He said, come on, there's more. Come on, there's more. I'm telling you today, come on, there's more than just coming to church on Wednesday and Sunday. There's more than just listening to the message of the hour. Which we've run over that. Notice the very day when this messenger, not when he starts on, but when he begins to declare his message. Now, what was it? The first pull was healing. Second pull, prophesying. Third pull, opening of the word, the mysteries revealed. No more. There's no more higher order to reveal the word. That's why we needed a prophet. But the only way the prophet can be vindicated is by the word. And remember, the third pull was the opening of them seals to reveal the hidden truth that's been sealed in the word. You can't major on a minor. Though the great thing we're after for any revival is to bring lost souls to Christ first. Revive the church back into a spiritual condition to where it should be. Close communion with God. Bring fellowship among the churches. Third and fourth, pray for the sick. That's your minor. That's our aim, is sinners first, fellowship with the church, close walk with the church of God, and then pray for the sick. Sin is on a rampage, worse than it ever was. Moved right into the locks of the church and has tore it up. What did our miracles do? What year is that? 1959. What did our miracles do? What did our healing campaigns? I believe in divine healing, sure. But you can never major on a minor. Divine healing is a minor. We can never major on these things. The church ought to be to maturity. And we've had rushing winds. We've had all kind of sensation. Where's the church at? Where are we at today, Lula Church? Where are we? Still more denominations growing every day, colonizing and everything, and still the same men. Our hearts are cold. We are indifferent. We got too much. We need less of the world and more of God. Our hearts are too cold. We become interested in some emotion. We become interested. If we can dance, if we can shout, I believe in it. So do I. If we can speak with tongues, I believe in it. I believe in every bit of that. But if we have that, and don't have that agonizing, weeping, broke-up spirit, God can never use it. Do we agonize really for our kids? We agonize for even our own spirituality. It's time for all of us to check up. Them things are good. But we have the other. We have got to have the other to go with it. We've left off the main thing and gone for the secondary. And we can never major on a minor. We know that. You can't major on a minor. The body of Christ is the sickest body he knows of. The body of Christ that needs healing worse than anything I know of is the body of Christ. It's been so broken up by men's theology and denominational differences until it's a sick body. I tell you, it needs healing, great healing. Now, a gift, 1965. Now, a gift, just like I said last night, a gift is wonderful, but we can't base our eternal destination on gifts. You cannot major on a minor. A gift is a minor. And Satan can impersonate any gift God's got. He can make something just exactly like it, see? Therefore, we got to watch that. Brother Bram said here, so that's why I think today we have not so many rather genuine new births. It's because the seed is maybe will sympathize with the word or the person, but they don't want to rot away from the old system that they were in. They don't want to come out of it. They want to stay in the old system and claim the new birth or the message of the hour. They want to claim it. I don't want to claim it. I want to be it. I don't want to hang around it. All right, two more quotes and we're done. Now this is, we talked about a little bit ago. Let's look at it now. Laodicean church age. All right, everybody with me? This messenger of Malachi 4 in Revelation 10:7 is going to do two things. All right? One, according to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. That's what we've been preaching. That's the Son of God revelation. That's what was in the beginning as the bookends of Alpha and Omega. Brother Branham had to tie up the loose ends. All right? But that will not produce a rapture. If so, they'd have took a rapture in the first church age. Two, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders. Don't draw up. We'll get to that a little bit later. In Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. Now let me stop here real quick and I'll throw this in. If you read Revelation 10, John was about to write what the thunders were. Wake up a minute. John was about to write. Now John didn't have the seals revealed to him. Huh? But he was about to write what them thunders were. It was so simple, John could write it. And that's why the angel said, don't write it. Seal it up, because there's a group in the end time is going to take the seals and put the seals and the thunders right there together. Everybody with me? They're going to put the seals and the thunders right there together. John didn't have it. He had partial. Listen, John wrote the part of the Bible. He was a great man. But he wrote in prophecy. We are looking exactly what he wrote. We've lived through Revelations 1, 2, and 3. If you're born again, you got 5. If you know what seals are, you got 6, 7, 8. If you know what, we only keep going. If you want to know what the vials are, if you want to know what the plagues are, if you want to know Revelation 19, and that's us. The whole book's been open. John, it wasn't. John was beginning to write. There was something popped up, and John was beginning to write what he saw. Saw. It wasn't revealed to him. He saw it. And he was getting ready to write it. Angel said, hold on. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he opens the seals, and then a group of people comes on the scene that are open book people. Everybody with me? He will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. But remember, they were so simple, John was getting ready to write them in symbol form. Christ said, stop. You really won't know what you're doing because the seals are not open yet. All right? It will be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn. Literally means not figuratively. We're not going to be the bride in type. Remember, John typed the bride. A lot of things types the bride. We are the bride. That's why I said before, I preached a long time ago, and you know, people didn't really understand it. Maybe now. We're not a type. Yeah, we're a type of Christ a little bit, but if we can't do that and just be and not have the Son of Man, we got to be him. Brother Brown said, we got to be him. She is him. She is him. I contend that when I open that book, that whole book types me. Right. No. That whole book types me. That whole book was written so that we could stand here today and take a body change. That whole book. They went through all that. Even Paul picks it up somewhere in Philippians or somewhere. He said, these were given for our example whom the ends of the world have come on. That's us. That's one of my scriptures I got. Because that scripture's for me. We are the people that the end of the world has come upon. So it will be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally, listen, I'm not standing here in type. I'm literally standing here. Right? So that's what's happened is this thing's going to come together. Be one. And that's what the message gives us. A chance to be one. All right? Musicians, come on. It's the last thing. In 1962, I made that 1962 real big because this was before the seals. This is one of the most important. To me, it's the hinge point of Brother Branham's ministry. He comes to 1962. He thinks he's preached everything. He says, I've got him out on a limb, Lord. I don't know what to do. He thought Malachi 4 was already fulfilled because he had turned them back. The ones that would listen, he turned them back. But there was a group called Lula Church that wasn't there yet. So in his Book of Words, Original Seed, he said, before this, three paragraphs before, he said, the Holy Spirit said, pick up your pen and write. Okay, this wasn't Brother Branham's thoughts. This was the Holy Spirit speaking to us by a letter. And a prophet just doing, just pinning it for him. With me? God has promised, be careful, God has promised Malachi 4 for this last day. And Malachi 4 has not yet been fulfilled. I believe that was a shocker to Brother Branham. He's like, wow. Then he started going, so it's not in the years of preparation. It's not when I first started my ministry. I haven't even begun my ministry yet. That's what Spoken Word's Original Seed. When he got finished with that, he knew he was at a place to just begin his message, not end it. He thought it was going to be the end. He was done. I'm finished. The Holy Spirit says, as of yet, Malachi 4 has not yet been fulfilled, but it must be fulfilled. For it is a germatized word of God spoken through Malachi the prophet. Now, hold on. This is the Holy Spirit writing this. All right? Brother Brown actually is reading it off of a piece of paper. It'll tell you in the if you pull it up, it'll say Brother Brown reads paragraph 140 whatever or 4 something to this something. And it's what he was reading off a piece of paper that the Holy Spirit told him to write. Jesus referred to it. It is to be just before the coming of Christ the second time. Listen close now. All scripture that has not been fulfilled must be before that time. The Bible is to be finished. To be finished. The Gentile dispensation is to be finished when the church age, when this anointed messenger arrives. Of course, he will plant the seed of the entire Bible, plumb from the serpent to the messenger in the former reign. Then he will be rejected by the denominational people as his forefather, John and Elijah, as was spoken by our Lord. Brother Branham, what's going on? Let's stand on our feet. I sent you on a healing campaign, and I'm sorry, but he said the angel rebuked him all the time about trying to explain it, right? That's where he got in trouble, he said. He got in trouble trying to explain that divine healing. That wasn't his message. Sure, it was a part of it, but that wasn't what he was sent to do. He was sent to get a group of people ready for a resurrection and a rapture. The Gentile dispensation is to be finished with the church age when this anointed messenger arrives. And then one other quote that I didn't bring, but he said, remember, you're the anointed people. You're little messiahs. You're little Elijahs. Because the anointing didn't leave. Brother Branham left, but the anointing left. Brother Branham left, but the anointing did not leave. The anointing is right here with us. We are anointed under that messenger of Malachi 4. And listen, He didn't fulfill it all the way. There was a part me and you got to play. And he said it must be fulfilled. And that includes seals, Daniel 70 weeks, woes, plagues, vials, trumpets. All that's got to come. We got to get this thing right. We can't be guessing. We can't guess. We cannot guess. Okay? You love the Lord? Let's sing a song.
And I just want to thank you, Lord, for letting me hear your voice. What have I done to deserve such glory?
You ever thought about that? You ever said, why me? Why? Why do you waste your time, Lord, on some idiot like me? Oh, he'll drop down one day and he'll say, hey, this is what I want you to pray. Or he said, hey, have you looked at this? Same thing with you. With eternal life, the Lord, I thank thee. Sing it to him again. Oh, I just want to thank. Can't thank him enough. Oh, I just want to thank you, Lord, for letting me hear your word. What have you know what you've done? You're in the right place at the right time. You've yielded yourself to God, and he's able to speak to you. Speak to you the end time message, the mysteries to be revealed.
Face with eternal life, Lord, I thank thee.
Have you ever said, why me, Lord? Why me? God saw something in you that you can't even see yourself. He saw something in you before the foundation of the world. By foreknowledge, he knew you'd be that kind of person. And he gave you the opportunity to hear the greatest message ever hit the face of this earth since 2,000 years ago. Brother Brown said one time he stood and he said, we're living in Bible times. We are living in Bible times. We are living in the Bible being fulfilled. We're right back here in this back part, right there. We're right at the end. Me and you. Let's don't throw this thing away. Let's don't let something derail us. Let's don't let something get in our way. And we do, and we know we do. But can you do, as Brother Brown said, let's get all the little things out of the way. Let's get all those things out of the way. All those bad feelings, all those emotions. And not just in the quietness of the night, just say, God, everything I got, you already know it. Whether I'm there or not, God's there. Right? Kids, whether your parents are there or not, God's there. Right? And you don't have to make it. You don't have to put it on the billboard. Hello? You confess it to God. If you've done wrong to some person, now you need to go to them. But if it's something you've done in your life and it's something that you're not sure of, or if it's something that you've been dilatory with, or that you say, well, I'll do that later. What if God would have said when you came to him, he said, oh, I'll save you later. He's never going to do that. He's never going to say, oh, I'll get to you. I'll get to you when I can. No, he's right there waiting on us. Let's sing that song, Standing Somewhere in the Shadows. Can we? I love that song. We'll sing that, and then we'll remember the meeting after the service somewhere for those who would like to sing as a group, Christmas dinner. Oh, you'll find Jesus. This is all about Jesus. This is all about our Savior. He's the only one who cares and understands. Thank you, Lord. Oh, standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find Him. And you'll know Him by the nail prints in His hands. Sing it to Him. He's always there. He's ever present. Right there. Oh, Him I shall know. Your husband. I shall know Him. Oh, I shall know Him by the prints of the nails in His hands. Standing somewhere. Oh, standing somewhere in the shadows. For Him today. He's the only one who cares and understands. Thank you, Lord. Oh, standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find Him. And you'll know Him by the nail prints in His hands. God bless you. Love you with the love of the Lord. You'll know Him. Love you. Appreciate you. But love Him more. Love Him more. More and more as the day goes on. Just give your love to the Lord. We give too much to the world. As I said before, you're a shining light in a dark place. Don't hide it. Don't hide it under a bushel. Let your light shine. By the prints of the nails. Just remember, Brother Luis, on Wednesday night, if you're going to stay here just for a little while to get something ready for Christmas, a little Christmas program, you're welcome to take your time. I know that somebody's got a recital today that we're going to try to go down there with you and support you. So, sister, remember, sister Zoe over here, she's going to you going to do the, she's going to play the violin. So just remember her in prayer that she's not nervous and that everything will be fine. So let's bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for the people being attentive and listening, Father. I pray now that you just let that sink in our heart, Lord. Don't let it fall away from us, Lord. Let it be a part of us, Lord. Let us continue, Lord, to strive and push and go forward in you. Father, be with the ones, Lord, that are sick, sin sick, Lord. Father, as the prophet said, the sickest body is the body of Christ. And Father, I pray that you'd heal us, Father. Heal us from the inside out, Lord. And that you'll take, Lord, the word of God and we'll apply it to our heart, Lord, as we listen to you. Father, bless us and be with us. Be with Sister Zoe, Lord, as she goes and does her recital, Father, that you just, Lord, anoint her as you do every service here, and that you'll be with her, Father. Just bless each one. Take care of each one on the highway. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
I love you,
Lord. And I lift my voice to
Oh, my soul. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you heard our brother, Lord, and his request, Lord, is that, Lord, his son, Lord, do better than still, Father, just anoint him, Lord. We know Satan tried to anoint him, but Father, we in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray that you touch our little brother, Lord, that you'll be with him, and be with him in a, even in his schoolwork, Lord, that you'll touch him, Father. And bless our brother, Lord, as he stands here today, Lord, on a closer walk with you, Lord. I pray that you'd grant that, Father. May he have a greater zeal in his heart for you, Lord, than ever before. And to be able to teach.